Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8. The Lord slays the king of the demons. Text 17. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. To prove that the statement of His servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari exhibited a wonderful form never seen before. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in His wonderful form in the assembly hall. Purport. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, "Where is your Lord? Is He present in this pillar?" Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly replied, "Yes, my Lord is present everywhere." Therefore, to convince Hiranyakashipu that the statement of Prahlad Maharaj was unmistakably true, the Lord appeared from the pillar. The Lord appeared as half lion and half man, so that Hiranyakashipu could not understand whether the great giant was a lion or a human being. To substantiate Prahlad's statement, the Lord proved that His devotee, as declared in the Bhagavad Gita, is never vanquished. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhaktah pranashyati. Prahlad Maharaj's demoniac father had repeatedly threatened to kill Prahlad. But Prahlad was confident that he could not be killed, since he was protected by the Supreme Lord. By appearing from the pillar, the Lord encouraged His devotee, saying, in effect, "Don't worry, I am present here." By manifesting His form as Narasimhadev, the Lord also preserved the truth of Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu was not to be killed by any animal or any man. The Lord appeared in a form that could not be said to be fully a man or a lion. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gura Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Bande Shri Gurun Dinataranam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhobhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Svarupakam तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं आराध्यो भगवान् व्रजेशतनयस् तद्धाम वृंदावनम् रम्या काचिदुपासना व्रजवधो वर्गेण या कल्पिता श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रमाणममलं प्रेमापुमर्थो महान् श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभोर्मतमिदं तत्रादर न परः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे उग्रं वीरं महाविष्णुं ज्वलन्तं सर्वतोमुखं नृसिंहं भीषणं भद्रं मृत्युर्मृत्युं नमाम्यहम् उग्रं वीरं महाविष्णुं ज्वलन्तं सर्वतोमुखं नृसिंहं भीषणं भद्रं मृत्युर्मृत्युं नमाम्यहम् उग्रं वीरं महाविष्णुं ज्वलन्तं सर्वतोमुखं नृसिंहं भीषणं भद्रं मृत्युर्मृत्युं नमाम्यहम् हरे कृष्ण Today is the holy day of the appearance of Sri Narasimhadev, a very special form of the Lord who has appeared specifically to protect his dear devotee, Prahlad. How special a devotee Prahlad must be that the Lord came personally all the way from Vaikuntha in a very special form, simply to protect him. We can understand, therefore, how important the devotees are to the Lord. For example, if a common citizen or anybody in the state was in some difficulty, let's say being accosted by a thief or being mugged on the street or something like that, and then the Prime Minister and the Queen of England personally came to rescue that person, we can understand that person must be a very special citizen. So the Lord's protection is accorded to his devotees and to the people in general in numerous ways. But for very, very special devotees like Prahlad, this protection is also given in extremely extraordinary ways. Just imagine, the Lord comes all the way from Vaikuntha just to protect one little boy of 5 years of age. That is the special quality of the Supreme Lord. He is Bhakta Vatsala. He is very affectionate to his devotees. The Lord doesn't really need to come to protect his devotees, to destroy the miscreants, or even to establish the principles of religion. The establishment of the principles of religion can be done by the Raja Rishis, the saintly kings. whose duty it is to act as representatives of the Supreme Lord and implement dharma and ensure that the praja or the citizens are being protected by dharma when they follow dharma. Dharmo rakshati rakshitaha. So when one follows dharma, then dharma protects one. If one protects dharma, dharma will protect one. So the kings are supposed to be representatives of the Lord, and they protect the praja from adharma and from various other kinds of misfortunes and calamities. So the Lord doesn't really need to come to establish dharma. As far as destroying the miscreants is concerned, well, the Raja Rishis do that. And the laws of material nature are sufficient to do that. The Lord has so many agents who can destroy the miscreants. As far as the protection of devotees is concerned, simply by chanting the holy name, they are protected. So the Lord doesn't really need to advent personally to protect the devotees. But he does. And this shows the love that the Lord has for the devotees. So Lord Narasimhadev is a very special form of the Lord. Half man, half lion. Incarnated in a way that is so extraordinary that we do not see this happening anywhere else. Emerging from a pillar. Very often when the Lord appears in this world, he appears according to the usual custom in the species in which he appears. So when he appears in the human species, then he accepts parents. When he appears as a sage, he will also have parents. Sometimes, however, he doesn't accept parents in his appearance, like in the Narasimhadev incarnation. And then he appears from a pillar, not from any ordinary father or mother. Why? To demonstrate the principle, or to prove the principle that his dear devotee Prahlad stated, that the Lord is present everywhere. And when Hiranyakashipu asked him, okay, you're saying the Lord is present everywhere, and is he there in this pillar? And Prahlad looked at the pillar. And as he looked at the pillar, he could actually see Lord Narasimhadev there. He actually saw him there. And he began gazing at the Lord in the pillar. This was not a theoretical, intellectual issue for Prahlad, that the Lord is all-pervasive. This jnana was completely vijnana for him. The intellectual knowledge was completely realized knowledge for him. He was actually seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead within that pillar. And Hiranyakashipu was getting more and more annoyed with every sentence that Prahlad was speaking. And now he got even more angry, because even as he was speaking to Prahlad, Prahlad was not looking at him. You know, even we may get a little annoyed if we are talking to someone and that person is looking elsewhere. And Hiranyakashipu was, as it is, a very egoistic and angry person. And now he was even more enraged and furious that Prahlad was repeatedly flouting his instructions. And here, even as he's speaking to Prahlad, Prahlad is looking into the pillar, least concerned about the ramblings and the rantings and ravings of his father Hiranyakashipu. He was completely serene in his facial expression. His eyes were gazing with devotion at the pillar. And the Lord was there, smiling at Prahlad. But actually, I think not so much smiling, because he was angry at Hiranyakashipu. Anyway, he was there. And then, when Hiranyakashipu, whose time for destruction had come very near, struck the pillar with his fist, the pillar cracked open and a tremendous sound emerged, a sound that sent shivers down the spine of the entire universe. They'd never before heard a sound as terrible as this one. And then the Lord emerged from that pillar with a shrieking sound, a form so massive and so strange that Hiranyakashipu just stood there transfixed. He was stunned. He was speechless. He just kept gazing, wondering what it is, what it was that had just emerged from the pillar. So in case someone says that the Lord had no father, in one of the prayers, in one of the Puranas, I forget where now, the Lord is addressed as Stambhaputra. Stambha means a pillar. Putra means the son. So Hiranyakashipu was the son of the pillar. See, as it is, the Lord doesn't have a father or a mother. He is a father or mother of everyone. Pitahamasya jagato mata dhata pitamaha. In the Bhagavad Gita, he says, I am the father of everyone. I am the grandfather, grandmother, mother, uncle, aunt. I am everything for everyone. So the Lord doesn't really have a father or a mother. Because father and mother are our origin, but he has no origin. So he is the father and mother of everybody. So even though he accepts Mother Yashoda Nanda Maharaj as his mother and father in Vrindavan, and in so many other incarnations, he accepts mothers and fathers, that is only leela, a pastime. It is rasa. But the ontology, the real fact, the tattva of the matter is that the Lord doesn't have a father. Anyone can be a father, anyone can be a mother if the Lord so chooses. So in this case, the Lord chose the pillar, a stone pillar, to be his father. For Krishna, for the Supreme Lord, there is no distinction between matter and spirit, between animate and inanimate, because ultimately everything is the Lord's energy. So it doesn't make a difference to him whether he appears in this world through the medium of a sentient being, be it human or otherwise, or an apparently insentient object like a stone pillar. After all, in the deity form, the Lord manifests himself completely. So if the Lord can manifest himself in the form of a stone deity and he is completely non-different from him, why can't he appear from a stone pillar, and why can't the stone pillar considered to be his, be considered his father? So he's Stambhaputra. And even though he originates from a pillar or from any other human being, in whatever shape or form he is in, he is always transcendental. In any of his incarnations, the Lord is transcendental. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tribhir gunamayir bhavarebhi sarvamidam jagat mohitam nabhijanati. He says that all the living entities who are under the clutches of nature think I am under the clutches of the three modes of nature. But the fact is, I am forever transcendentally situated. Srila Prabhupada in one place gives a very interesting illustration of how the Lord is transcendental in all circumstances, whereas we are not. When we look at different activities that are performed in this world by individuals, we can classify them according to the three modes of nature. For example, when a student sits down quietly and studies his or her books, studying for the examination peacefully, then that's an activity in the mode of goodness. But when Krishna and Balaram went to Avanti and studied under Sandipani Muni, they were also studying, they were also sitting there. It appears like the mode of goodness, but they were transcendentally situated. The Lord is also never even in the mode of goodness. Similarly, when people are on the battlefield, shooting arrows or bullets at each other, and there is fighting going on, is very much in the mode of passion. So even though Krishna often fought battles and he let loose arrows and killed people in the battlefield like any heroic kshatriya would do in the mode of passion, when Krishna does it, he remains transcendental. It only appears that he's in the mode of passion, but actually he's transcendental. Now, imagine the situation where there is some kind of perverted killer, okay, a murderer, and he kills somebody, and he tears open his belly, and takes out all his intestines, and all his hands and his body are full of blood, and he takes those intestines and he wears it around his neck as a garland. We would say this is some kind of ghastly pervert. He's very much in the mode of ignorance, and we would have many other colorful words for him. But when the Lord does this activity, it is transcendental, and he remains transcendental. Even though he performs an act which may otherwise seem to be completely in the mode of ignorance when done by somebody else, when the Lord does it, it remains a transcendental activity. So the Lord, even when he's doing an act like this, like tearing open the chest of Hiranyakashipu and taking out his intestines, as we just saw in the drama before, and then wearing it around his neck, even such an apparently ghastly activity becomes transcendental because they're performed by the Supreme Lord. Of course, it is precisely because the Supreme Lord is transcendental and absolute in all circumstances, does the demon become fortunate when he is killed by the Lord, because he gets delivered. So this is the nature of the Supreme Lord. He always appears to protect his devotees. He finds it intolerable when his devotees are persecuted. And sometimes he can't bear it to such a degree that he doesn't even tell his agents to act. He said, "Don't worry, I'm going myself." Let's say one of your family members or some dear devotee is in some difficulty. It's very likely that you will go yourself immediately. You will not simply leave the task to somebody else, because there is affection there. So similarly, even though the Lord can order and does order his agents to do his functions, there are occasions when the Lord can't bear the trouble that his devotee is undergoing and comes personally, as does Lord Narasimhadev to protect Prahlad. So Narasimhadev is a very special form of the Lord. In the Padma Puran, as cited by Srila Jiva Goswami, it is mentioned that there are numerous incarnations of the Lord who appear in this world, and they also have their abodes. Many of these incarnations have their abodes within the material world, but all of them have abodes in the spiritual world. So we can understand that Lord Narasimha also has an eternal abode in the spiritual world. And he is counted as one of the avatars because he descends into this world. Avatarati iti avataraha. One who descends from the spiritual world into the material world is called an avatar. In the Laghu Bhagavatamrita by Srila Rupa Goswami, he has categorized the avatars into four groups. The first one are called Avesha. Avesha means to enter into. So when the Lord infuses his energy into a jiva, into a living entity, that person is called an Avesha avatar or a Shaktyavesha avatar. Usually this term avatar for such entities is a metaphorical term, strictly speaking, because the entity is a jiva. But because of that, special empowerment is sometimes placed in the category of an avatar. So we have Kalki avatar, Parshuram, we have the four Kumaras, we have Narada, and so on. The second category that Srila Rupa Goswami mentions there is called a Prabhava avatar. And he says there are two categories of these. One are those who are not very famous, and who appear occasionally, like a Hamsa avatar, Mohini avatar, then the Yuga avatars. And there's another category of Prabhava avatars who compile the scriptures, like Vyasadev or Dhanvantari, who is the author of the Ayurveda scriptures, and there's Kapila, Dattatreya, and so on. And then he says a third category called Vaibhava Avastha. Vaibhava. Avastha means situation. So Vaibhava avatars are the usual well-known avatars like Kurma, Matsya, Varaha, Hayagriva, and so on. And also the Manvantara avatars. Of these Manvantara avatars, four are prominent, and of the others in this category, Varaha and Hayagriva are prominent, making six. So these six are very close to the fourth category, but not quite. The fourth category called Paravastha, the most important forms of the Lord. So generally the Prabhava and the Vaibhava forms of the Lord are lesser than the Paravastha, the most important forms of the Lord. But among the Paravastha and amongst the Prabhava and the Vaibhava, these six are a little closer than are the others. So who are the Paravastha incarnations, the most important incarnations? Can anyone say? According to Rupa Goswami, as given in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, which are the most important para means supreme incarnations of the Lord? Yes, Govinda. Ram, Narasimha, Krishna, absolutely. In which order? Narasimha first, Ram and Krishna, in order of increasing importance. So amongst the innumerable avatars of the Lord, the category of Paravastha represents the most important forms, three of them, and there is a gradual increase in the level of importance, but Narasimha is amongst the three most important incarnations of the Lord. That is very significant and something we can remember today on the day of anniversary of his appearance. These Paravastha forms are characterized by being complete and perfect in the six transcendental opulences. Bhagavan, yes? Bhaga means opulence, van means one who possesses. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashahasriya jnanam vairagisannam bhaga itingana. So they are the six transcendental opulences, and they exist in completeness and in perfection in all forms of Bhagavan, but particularly in these three forms. As far as Narasimhadeva is concerned, so we should understand his opulence and his powers are complete and perfect. And yet, Lord Ramachandra is a step ahead because he is the moon of sweetness, Srila Rupa Goswami says. And Krishna is way ahead, the original Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is an unprecedented ocean of the nectar of opulence and sweetness. Paramaishwarya Madhurya Piyusha Purvavarithihi. Apurva means unprecedented. Apurva Piyusha, nectar. Varadhi is ocean. So Krishna is the unprecedented ocean. Ocean of what? Of the nectar of opulence and sweetness. So there is no difference between Lord Narasimha and Lord Krishna, save and except the rasa, the sweetness. Otherwise, Lord Narasimha is equally powerful and opulent as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Also, in the Vishnu Dharmottara Puran, it is explained that Lord Narasimhadev is an expansion, an ansha of Sankarsana in the spiritual world. As you know, from Krishna comes Balaram, from Balaram comes, you know, the four Chaturvyuhas, then again Narayana, again the four Chaturvyuhas. There is Sankarshan there, in that Chaturvyuhas. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. So from Sankarshan comes Lord Narasimhadev. So much for the ontology and so much for philosophy. So just a word of consolation for everybody here. So the Lord appeared here. And why is Lord Narasimhadev so important to us? As devotees of Radha and Krishna, as aspirants of the Vrajabhav of Vrindavan. For one, because even though we are aspiring to love Krishna in the mood of Vrindavan, we are in a very precarious and fragile position in the material world. We desperately need protection in all respects at every stage. And since Lord Narasimhadev is a special form that the Lord has taken for the protection of his devotees, we need Lord Narasimhadev's mercy and protection, and therefore we pray to him for that. In the early days of the movement, when there were lots of troubles, the devotees were being harassed in many ways, there were many dangers, Srila Prabhupada then began instructed the devotees to start chanting the Narasimha prayers. And from that day on, Lord Narasimhadev's picture came on the altar in every ISKCON temple, and every morning and evening, the Narasimha prayers were chanted. And those prayers, Prabhupada combined two prayers actually. Two from the Narasimha Purana, as chanted by Lord Chaitanya in the temple of Lord Jagannath, when he took darshan of Lord Narasimha's deity. We'll come to that in a moment. And also then he took another verse from Jayadev Goswami's Dashavatara Stotra. He combined the two, and thus we have our daily Narasimha Pranati that we sing. So, it happened in the Gaudiya Mutts, even before ISKCON started, even during Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time. In Mayapur in those days, there used to be a lot of dacoits. And so therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur installed, I don't remember if it was Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur or Bhaktisiddhanta, I think it was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who installed Lakshmi Narasimha deities for protection. So it is definitely something authorized. And we all know the history of our Mayapur temple, and we'll also talk about that a little later. So in any case, for us, Lord Narasimhadev is also very important because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited many, many temples of Lord Narasimhadev. Now you may be surprised to know that in Orissa itself, there are many important temples of Lord Narasimha. Any guess as to how many? Sorry? 2,000. Well, if one counts the smaller temples, I guess there may be. But the really important temples are about 155, I think. Or 105. 105 very prominent Narasimha temples. Just in the Puri area, there are so many. And in the state of Andhra Pradesh, there are as many as 169 important, prominent temples of Lord Narasimhadev. So somehow the eastern coast of India seems to have some connection with Lord Narasimhadev. Because most of the ancient Narasimha temples are in the eastern coast of India, from Orissa going right down to Andhra Pradesh. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited all these holy places of Lord Narasimha. Some days ago we were speaking about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's travels to South India, and at that time we discussed his visit to Simhachalam, the deity of Jiyada Narasimha. Yeah, so this is how Mahaprabhu describes that visit. So let's see what Mahaprabhu did. And because Mahaprabhu went to these places, it's important for us to know how Mahaprabhu had darshan. In those series of lectures, we only spoke about the temple and the deity, not so much about what Mahaprabhu did. So this is the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela 8.3. Purvarite Prabhu Age Gamana Karila Jiyada Nirsimha Kshetre Kato Dine Gela. According to his previous program, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went forward on his tour and after some days arrived at the place of pilgrimage known as Jiyada Nirsimha. Nirsimha Dekhiya Koilo Dandavat Pranati Prema Veshe Koilo Bahu Nritya Gita Stuti. Upon seeing the deity of Lord Nrsimha in the temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his respectful obeisances by falling flat. Then, in ecstatic love, he performed various dances, chanted, and offered prayers. And this is the mantra that we chant in Mayapur. Yes, those of you who have visited Mayapur, you're familiar with this chant every morning at 7 a.m. The darshan of Mayapur's Lord Narsimha opens, the devotees chant this. Shri Narsimha, Jai Narsimha, Narsimha, Prahladesha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma, Bringa. Shri Narsimha, Jai Narsimha, Jai Jai Narsimha, Prahladesha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma, Bringa. Shri Narsimha, Jai Narsimha, Jai Jai Narsimha, Prahladesha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma, Bringa. All glories to Narsimhadev. All glories to Narsimhadev, who is the Lord of Prahlad Maharaj, and like a honeybee is always engaged in beholding the lotus-like face of the goddess of fortune. Padma is Lakshmi's name because she is seated on the lotus. Padma Mukha. So Padma Bringa. So he's like a bee. Mukha Padma. Mukha Padma refers to the lotus face. And Bringa means a bee. So Lord Narsimhadev, who is the Isha of Prahlad, the Lord of Prahlad, Prahlad Isha is like a Bringa, a honeybee, who is gazing at the Mukha Padma, the lotus face of Padma, of Lakshmi Devi. So all glories to that Narsimhadev. And then he chants this beautiful verse. So kindly repeat after me. Ugro pyanugra evayam. Svabhaktanam rikeshari. Keshari vasvapotanam. Anyesham ugra vikramah. Ugropyanugra evayam. Svabhaktanam rikeshari. Keshari vasvapotanam. Anyesham ugra vikramah. Maybe two from the men's side, two from the ladies' side can chant. Ugro pyanugra evayam. Svabhaktanam rikeshari. Keshariva svapotanam. Anesham Ugravikramaha. Ugropyanugra evayam. Svabhaktanam rikeshari. Keshariva svapotanam. Anyesham ugravikramaha. Ugropyanugra evayam. Svabhaktanam rikeshari. Keshariva svapotanam. Anyesham ugravikramaha. Ugropyanugra evayam. Svabhaktanam rikeshari. Keshariva svapotanam. Anyesham ugravikramaha. Although very ferocious, the lioness is very kind to her cubs. Similarly, although very ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narasimhadev is very, very soft and kind to devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. You know, I know some devotees in our movement who are out and out devotees of Lord Narasimhadev. Some of them are like Kshatriya type, you know, very Lord Narasimha. So do we have any sold out devotees of Lord Narasimha here? Yes, one, two, yes. Three. Anyone else this side? Four. Okay, so you have some homework. If you claim to be a devotee of Narasimhadev, you must learn this shloka. You must know this verse. Very, very important. Even for everyone else, all of us who are devotees of Lord Narasimha, this verse is very nice, very important. Ugraha. Ugraha means fierce. Api means although. Anugra means not fierce. So even though Nri Keshari, Nri means a human, Keshari means a lion. So even though this Nri Keshari, is Keshariva, is rather Ugra, even though this Narasimha is very Ugra, very fierce, but Svabhaktanam, for his devotees, he is Anugra. He is not at all fierce. Eva, just like a Keshari, a lioness, Svapotanam, for her own cubs, is very loving and kind. But for Anyesham, for others, she is fierce, Ugravikramaha. Have any of you seen any wildlife videos of a lion or lioness with her cubs? And even, you see what happens is lions, they are very pride conscious. Pride in a group of lions is called a pride. Yeah, they are also pride conscious in that sense. They are a Kshatriya species, you know. They exemplify the mode of passion. So when you talk of animals in the mode of passion, lions, tigers are it. So you usually have in a pride of lions the dominating male lion, who is like the real macho type, you know, with the long mane and everything. And he will have cubs through the lionesses in the herd. And there is a fight for supremacy. And when he's killed by another male lion, that male, new male lion will kill the cubs of the other male lion. And he will have his own cubs. You know. But when a male lion attacks the cubs who is with their mother, that mother lioness will be so fierce when she's protecting her cubs, even against a male lion who's much bigger than her, much stronger than her, that she will be fierce, not just to others, but even to these very formidable male lions. So, to others, the lioness is extremely fierce. Anyesham ugra vikramaha. But when it comes to svapotanam, when it comes to her own cubs, she is extremely loving, extremely gentle. So, Mahaprabhu recited this verse over there. Ei moto nana shloka poristuti koilo, Nrsimha sevaka mala prasadani dilo. In this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited different verses from the Shastra. The priest of Lord Narsimhadev then brought garlands and the remnants of the Lord's food and offered them to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, just a quick revision of what we did, some few pictures of Simhachalam, the place where Lord Chaitanya chanted these verses. It's called the Varaha Lakshmi Narasimha Temple at Simhachalam, the hill of the lion. Another view of the Gopuram. The Gopuram with the shrine itself, the main temple. A bird's eye view. Very natural, beautiful, scenic setting. And this is the deity, covered with sandal. Okay. So, actually, Mahaprabhu visited many Narasimha temples in South India. Kaviraj Goswami mentions just a few of them. Simhachalam, he mentions Mangalagiri, Pana Narasimha. He mentions Ahobala Narasimha, where there is Nava Narasimha, nine deities of Lord Narasimha in different postures. We talked a bit about them in that series of talks a couple of weeks ago. But also, I'd like to talk a bit about the connection or the relationship between Lord Narasimhadev and Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent all his Antya Leela and a significant portion of his Madhya Leela in Jagannath Puri. Sorry? Someone said something? Oh, I see, okay. Alright. So every day, as we all know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would visit the temple of Lord Jagannath. And he would enter from what is called the Simhadwar, the lion gate. He would wash his feet, lotus feet, in the place that is provided there. Because the custom is that before you enter a temple, you wash your feet. Because you come in from the outside, you know. Of course, somehow, one day, hopefully, in all our ISKCON temples, we'll be able to make some arrangement like that. Maybe in the Western countries where it gets too cold, you can't do that because people come with socks and then that's a problem. But at least in warmer places, hopefully, we should have a place before we enter the temple where we can just walk through a little puddle of water which has running water. So you wash your feet and then you go into the temple. It's very important. But I think the least we can do is when we enter our temple here at the manor, we remove our shoes. Yes, everybody does that. But we use our hands and then we place the shoes in the racks, which is very good. But then what should you do after that? Wash hands. And I see that most people don't do that, even our devotees. So when you touch your hands to the shoes and you place them there, then don't touch anything else with those hands. You're coming into the Lord's temple. And then there's a tap, there's a little place here for water. Just wash your hands and come in. Or some people, they carry these little sprays. Just spray your fingers and come in. Because it's useful. Useful thing to carry on when you're carrying your beads and then you happen to touch something else which is not pure and then you want to chant again. Then where can you go and find some water? So carry a little spray, just spray it, and then start your chanting on your beads again. So anyway, so Mahaprabhu washed his feet. He went in through the Simhadwar. He climbed up some stairs, about 22 stairs or something. And then there's the temple of Lord Narasimha there. So every time Mahaprabhu offered obeisances to Lord Narasimhadev first, and he chanted some prayers there, and then he went up to have darshan of Lord Jagannath. So generally for those devotees who are permitted to enter Lord Jagannath's temple in Puri, it is a custom that one must first offer obeisances to Patita Pavana Jagannath at the very entrance. You can see Patita Pavana from outside the temple. Then you enter in, then offer obeisances to Lord Narasimha, and then you go up for darshan of Lord Jagannath. So let's see what Mahaprabhu chanted when he went up. So this is the Jagannath temple at Puri, a beautiful view. Actually, for those who were not allowed to go in, and I hope very soon, within the next generation, somehow this rule will be changed. So all devotees, regardless of the family in which they were born, will be able to enter into that temple. It's not just for those with Western bodies. Even if you look like a Westerner, or even if you're reading English. I remember many years ago, as a brahmachari, I was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita in one of the places in the Jagannath temple. And there was this one panda who came and he looked, what are you reading? And he saw this English book. And to my utter shock, he raised such a furor, an uproar. All the pandas gathered, and they thought I was a foreigner because I was reading English. There was such a big scene out there. I was taken aback, shocked. I was alone there. So then I spoke to them in Hindi, and then they convinced them that I was not a Westerner. And it was okay. So anyway, we hope that one day this will change. The younger generation of pujaris, they somewhat understand. The older generation have not been exposed to the world at all. They're still living in their little world. They don't know anything. And they're very fanatical about this. Somehow or the other, Mahaprabhu also didn't interfere with this for some reason. He didn't want to rock the boat too much at that time. Even Haridas Thakur, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami didn't go in, but they just had darshan of the flag from a distance and the chakra. So we can do the same. So when Mahaprabhu entered in, what did he do? Baishapa hacha pache uparadakshina dike ekanrsima murti achen utite vama bhage. On the southern side, behind and above the 22 steps, is a deity of Lord Narasimhadev. It is on the left as one goes up the steps toward the temple. Pratidinatare prabhu korena namaskar, namaskari eish loka pade baro baro. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his left side toward the deity, offered obeisances to Lord Narasimha as he proceeded toward the temple. He recited the following verses again and again while offering obeisances. So when we take darshan of a deity of Lord Narasimhadev, we can also follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, whenever we offer obeisances to any deity, we should chant some verses, offer some prayers, and if we don't know any prayers, no problem, chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And at least pray in whichever language you're comfortable with to the Lord. The Lord understands all languages. But specifically, if you are able to remember the verses that Mahaprabhu chanted, that will be also very nice. And the verses that Mahaprabhu chanted here, definitely all of us know. Yes, very familiar. Namaste Narasimhaya. Prahlada-hlada-dayine, Hiranyakashipurvakshaha, Hiranyakashipurvakshaha, Shilatankanakalaye. Ito Narsimha Parato Narsimho. Yato Yato Yami Tato Narsimha. Bahir Narsimho Hridaye Narsimho. Nrisimha Madhim Sharanam Prapadye. Lord Nrisimhadev is here. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Lord Nrisimhadev is here and he is also there on the opposite side. Wherever I go, there I see Lord Nrisimhadev. He is outside and within my heart. Therefore, I take shelter of Lord Narsimhadev, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Something happened here. Okay, the translation of this, somehow there's some mix up here. Namaste Narasimhaya, I offer my obeisances to Lord Narasimhadev. Prahlada, Ahlada, Daine. Ahlad means happiness, joy. So the very name Prahlad means Prakrishta Rupena Ahlad, the one who is extremely joyous. So he is the one who gives transcendental joy to Prahlad. Hiranyakashipur Vakshaha, Vakshaha means the chest. Shila is like a stone. Tanka, stone-like, nakhalaya means the with the nails. So I offer my obeisances to Lord Narsimhadev, who gives transcendental bliss to Prahlad, and who with his nails tore apart, ripped apart the stone-like chest of Hiranyakashipu, of the demon Hiranyakashipu. So these are the two verses from the Narsimha Puran that Srila Prabhupada selected, that Mahaprabhu also chanted. So Srila Prabhupada selected these two for our daily Narsingha prayers, and he also selected Tavakara Kamalavare from Jayadev Goswami's Dashavatara Stotra. So in this way Mahaprabhu chanted many other mantras. So I want to speak a bit about the importance of Lord Narasimhadev in Jagannath Puri. You see, there is a very old and a very deep and intimate connection between Lord Narasimha and Lord Jagannath. Actually, this whole area, according to the Padma Puran, was called Narasimha Kshetra. And Lord Narasimhadev resided there and was known as Adi Narasimha. In fact, the deity of Narasimha resided in Jagannath Puri even before the advent of the Lord as Jagannath. So Lord Narasimha in Jagannath Puri predates Lord Jagannath himself. And it is said that Brahma performed the installation ceremony there, and Narasimha at the Yajna Kunda. And Narasimha emerged as Brahma was performing a sacrificial ceremony. Narasimha in his fierce form emerged from the Yajna Kunda. And King Indradyumna was very frightened. And when the Lord saw King Indradyumna so frightened, he then assumed a more peaceful aspect. So this goes down. And the same Narasimha deity is said to be there near the Mukti Mandap, inside the enclosure, the temple complex of Lord Jagannath. In fact, for those who are familiar with the modes of worship of Lord Jagannath, we'll see that it's the Narasimha mantra all over. You know, when the worshippers, they do nyasa, you know, you write the names of the Lord on your body and everything. So it's mostly based on the Narasimha mantra Raj, a very ancient mantra of Lord Narasimha. Now you'll be interested to know that there is a pillar called the Kamba Narasimha in the Jagamohan. Jagamohan is a hall that is just next to the Sanctum Sanctorum. That's where people stand, take darshan. Many activities happen there. So as you enter from the south side, the first pillar is called the Kamba Narasimha. Kamba means a pillar. And that is where all the pandas, the priests who want to worship Jagannath in the temple, have to get initiated. They have to get initiated over there. And then they have a deity of Lakshmi Narasimha and so on. And this place is very important. And if the food has to, bhoga has to be offered in some emergency, when the Lord is not available, or when he's resting, when the curtains are closed, then the bhoga is offered to Lord Narasimha here. And actually, before the first offering of the day always is to Lord Narasimha in the temple complex. Then afterwards to Lord Jagannath. During the time of the Anavasara is the 15 days when the Lord doesn't give darshan, Jagannath, because he's sick. He goes into Nibhrita, into solitude. And he's looked after, he gets fruit juices and various other health foods, you know. So at that time he doesn't take his usual meal. So those meals are now offered to Lord Narasimha Dev. Even at the time of Navakalevara, Kalevara refers to body, Nava means a new body. So every time when the Adhik Mas, the extra month, Purushottam, coincides with the month of Ashad, which can happen once in 12 years, once in 13 years, once in 19 years, depending on when that coincidence happens, that's the time there is a Navakalevara. The deities are changed. So it can happen after a long time. So during the Navakalevara, the Ishtadev is Lord Narasimhadev. And the deities are always addressed as Lord Narasimhadev till the very end. And when the deities of Jagannath, Balidev, Subhadra have to be carved, there's a whole system, there's a ritual, and an elaborate procedure for first identifying the trees which have to be cut. Very specific symptoms have to be there. It has to appear in the dream of the pujari and many things like that. So, once they cut the tree, they bring it to a place in the enclosure which is called the Koili Vaikuntha, which is also where the old deities of Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra are in Samadhi. They remain there. It's called the Koili Vaikuntha, behind the temple. I saw for the first time, you know, after so many years, that's the place I saw just recently, 1 or 2 years ago. So, when the wood is brought there for carving, some pujas are done, some rituals are done. And at that time, there is the worship of that wood happens with Narasimha Mantra. Even before the cutting of the trees, when they identify the trees, a yajna is performed there and Narasimha mantras are chanted there. And there are many, many other things like this. These are just a few things that I know. I'm sure there must be many, many other ways in which Lord Narasimha's mantras are chanted and he's worshipped in Jagannath Puri, especially in the Jagannath Puri temple. The Brahma Puran speaks a lot about Adi Narasimha in Jagannath Puri. And also there's a very famous temple of Lord Narasimha, which is very near the Gundicha temple in Puri. That's called the Yajna Narasimha temple. Now we all know that the Rath Yatra of Lord Jagannath starts from the main Jagannath temple and it goes on to Gundicha temple, which is about 2 kilometers away. And then their lordships reside within Gundicha temple for roughly eight or nine days. And then there's a return, Ulta Rath. So near this Gundicha temple, there is the Narasimha temple, which also has a very ancient history. And whenever Mahaprabhu used to clean the Gundicha temple just before the Rath Yatra, he would also clean the Narasimha temple and he would come there for darshan. And here, this is the deity of Yajna Narasimha. It is said in the Skanda Puran that Narad Muni instructed King Indradyumna. Now, I'm not going to the pastimes of Indradyumna, etc., because it'll take too much time, and that pertains to the pastime of the appearance of Lord Jagannath. I'm sure all of you are familiar with that pastime of the appearance of Lord Jagannath. So in any case, when there was difficulty that Indradyumna Maharaj was having, and he was asked to perform certain Ashwamedha yagyas, horse sacrifices, near a temple of Lord Shiva. So when he came, the Narad Muni also appeared. And he asked him to carve a deity of Lord Narasimha with certain black stone under a black sandalwood tree. Now you see, the issue with such pastimes is that there are different versions that we hear from different sources. So in another version it says that Narad Muni himself brought the deity of Lord Narasimhadev. In any case, the prominent version is that he asked him to carve the deity of Lord Narasimhadev and then place it under this black sandalwood tree. And then Narad Muni personally installed this. And the Ashwamedha yagyas were performed in front of this temple. And because of that, this temple came to be known as Yajna Narasimha temple, or the Yajna Narasimha deity. Now actually, in this temple, there are two deities of Lord Narasimha, one behind the other. So when you go in for darshan, you usually see the one in front, and only with difficulty you can see the other if the pujari is kind enough to light a lamp and shine it in front of the deity behind. So the deity of Lord Narasimha in front is called Shanta Narasimha. Shanta means peaceful. And the deity behind is Ugra Narasimha, deity who is very fierce. So it is said that this feature of Shanta Narasimha is somewhat human-like. You know, he has a big nose, a curved nose. He has sharp mustaches and a tongue that is outstretched, you know. But somehow he is very peaceful. It is said that anyone who is very angry, if he goes in front of Shanta Narasimha here, will become immediately calm. There was an iconoclast, you know, because iconoclast is one who doesn't like deities and he breaks temples and deities. So there have been many such in the history of medieval India. So one such was called Kalapahad. And his favorite pastime was to go and destroy temples. The Jagannath temple also has been subject to the depredations of such unsavory characters in the past. And many times Pandas would have to hide the deity somewhere. So the temple of Lord Jagannath that we see today is only perhaps 1,000 or 1,500 years old. There have been many, many other temples before that. The structures of the temples have changed. The deities, of course, keep changing at Navakalivara. But the site is the same. So Kalapahad was one such iconoclast. So when he came to Jagannath Puri, he also came to this Narasimha temple with the idea of breaking down the temple. He was very angry. Such iconoclasts are always very angry, you know. So he came, the moment he came in front of Shanta Narasimha, he immediately became peaceful. And he went away without doing any damage to this deity. So it is said that, you know, if anyone has any anger management issues, you know, if you know anybody who has such anger management problems, you know, perhaps they can go to Shanta Narasimha in Jagannath Puri and pray. or if you're anxious about something, you're frustrated about something, you know, you're just too disturbed about something, just pray to Shantanu Narasimha. Actually, Srila Prabhupada gives another interesting instruction, which is quite the opposite. I guess we can do both. One time when one devotee asked him, what should one do when one is very angry? How can one control one's anger? And Srila Prabhupada said, just meditate on Lord Narasimhadev's anger and your anger will disappear. So you see, the Lord is absolute. So whether you meditate on Him in an angry, when He's angry, or whether He's peaceful, you know, the point is, because He's absolute, He's transcendental, He's merciful. So by meditating on any form of the Lord, we will become peaceful. A very important point. So our meditation upon the Lord can be like that. It is a misconception. I remember one devotee coming up and saying that, you know, he had a huge picture of Lord Narasimhadev of Mayapur in his house. Said, I went down, I didn't see that. And I asked, what happened? Why, you had such a nice blow up of Lord Narasimhadev's picture. He said, you know, somebody told me, you know, I was having many problems in my life, and someone told me that if you keep Ugra Narasimha, he'll destroy everything in your house. I've heard this kind of thing before when it's about Krishna and Arjuna on the chariot, you know. There are many people who say that don't keep such a picture in your house because there'll be a Mahabharata in your house. You know, have you heard of these things? People say that. So don't pay heed to such advice. As devotees of the Lord, we will keep. I said, if you don't keep Krishna Arjuna, there will be a Mahabharata in your house. So keep Krishna and Arjuna there. Keep Lord Narasimha there, whether in his Ugra posture, in his Shanta posture, whatever posture. He is the transcendental Lord. So that when you keep him there and worship him with devotion, he will remove all obstacles in our life. So anyway, this is the Yajna Narasimha deity. So you can see that's a nice picture of him here. And then to Mayapur, Sthanu Narasimha. Anyone knows why he's called Sthanu Narasimha? Is he Sthanu Narasimha or is he Ugra Narasimha? Huh? Just Sthanu. Sthanu means he's just about to leap. He's all set. He's all set to jump out of the pillar. Yes? And pounce on Hiranyakashipu. So his knees are bent, his hands are in a certain posture, and he's roaring, he's got a fierce expression on his face. That's Sthanu, just as he's about to emerge from the pillar, ready to jump. So what is Ugra Narasimha? Ugra means fierce. There are 9 types of Ugra forms of Lord Narasimha, and Sthanu is one of them. So the Mayapur deity of Lord Narasimha, you can call him Ugra Narasimha, you can call him Sthanu Narasimha, both are the same. There's a wonderful history about how the deity of Lord Narasimhadev came there, and that's a pastime in itself. It'll take a long time to say it. We're almost at 10 o'clock. But suffice it to say that it's the most extraordinary appearance. And there are many pastimes. Lord Narasimhadev in Mayapur is also very active. And many, many devotees have very personal and deep experiences in their transactions, so to speak, the devotional transactions with Lord Narasimhadev. Although he is in a Sthanu or the fierce roop, Ugra Rupa, it's interesting to note, Pankajangri Prabhu was mentioning this at one time, I remember, that he adopts the mood of the predominating deity of Navadvipa, of Mayapur, which is Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. So even though Lord Narasimha is here in the deity form, in the Ugra Rupa, fierce aspect, but still he's very gentle. He is very kind, very loving, very merciful. So we shouldn't feel afraid. Of course, it doesn't mean we shouldn't take precautions, but we should go with full faith and assurance that the Lord is extremely merciful, and He will remove all obstacles in the path of our devotion. There were so many things. I think I timed it wrong, and therefore I didn't. Yes, Thanu Narasimha in Mayapur, they say another view. Yes, Chand Kazi's pastime, you all know that. Here again the discussion between Mahaprabhu and Chand Kazi, and here is Chand Kazi at Mahaprabhu's feet, and he's describing. You see something in the background there. Chand Kazi is asleep, and Lord Narasimhadev appears to him in his sleep and straddles him, sits on his chest, and says, "You dare to interrupt my Sankirtan movement? I will tear apart your chest the same way you broke that mridanga. And because you didn't cause too much disturbance, I'm being merciful to you and not killing you. But the next time you do it, I'll not only kill you, I'll kill all your family members and all your descendants." So he warned him. And then Chand Kazi surrendered before Mahaprabhu. It's a nice, beautiful pastime. Perhaps someone may enact it in a drama, I don't know. And so all his descendants also became devotees. And this is the temple of Narasimhapalli in Godrumadweep, in Navadweep. This is where Lord Narasimha came to rest after killing Hiranyakashipu, and there was the Mandakini River there. It's no longer there. And there's only a little pond there now. And he washed his hands over there, his lotus hands. And therefore, the blood that was there on his hands now came into this river, Mandakini. So all the demigods, they came here to stay. Vishwakarma constructed many stone houses for them. But over the millennia, those stone houses have vanished. The river has gone. There's only a small little lake there. So it's also called Devapalli because the demigods came to reside here in Narasimhapalli. So this is the deity of Lord Narasimhadev at Narasimhapalli. And these are some prayers. I think we'll conclude here. Excuse me for just going 5 minutes over time, but I just couldn't do without these prayers. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written 5 beautiful prayers in Sri Navadvipa Bhavataranga for receiving the mercy of Lord Narasimha. These prayers are certainly assurance to all sincere devotees that the worship of Lord Narasimha is purely in the line of aspiring love and devotion to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. The prayers are as follows. Ei dushta hriday kamadir puchhay. Kutinati pratishthasa shatth sadarai. Hridaya shodhana ara krishnira vasuna. Narasimha charane mora eito kamona. Within my sinful heart, the 6 enemies headed by lust perpetually reside, as well as duplicity, the desire for fame, plus sheer cunning. At the lotus feet of Lord Narasimha, I hope that he will mercifully purify my heart and give me the desire to serve Lord Krishna.